Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Her Talks Radio. This is Living Well. I am your host, Tanisha Burrell, and in this space, we talk all things health and wellness and how to live a healthier and happier life. On today's episode, I am so excited that I will be joined by one of my dear friends, servant leader, and CEO and creator of Radiate Her and Her Talks Radio, Carla Chapman. We will be discussing the spiritual dimension of wellness and just breaking down how it has impacted and inspired our lives. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you get this message. I am your host, Tanisha Burrell. This is Living Well. And today I am so excited and honored to bring in one of my dear friends, confidant and servant leaders into the space. It's been a while since her and I have hopped on a podcast together. We started this thing together and she has just been an amazing force in my life. And I am so excited to dive into one of my favorite and most important dimensions of wellness, which is spirituality. So I'm just going to quickly introduce my girl, CEO, creator of Radiate Her, Carla Chapman. How you doing, boo?
Good morning.
Good just to hear your voice in this space and get on here and talk about something that I know for sure has definitely impacted you and I. But before we dive in, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I definitely won't get on here and pretend. But first of all, I want to say thank you for asking me to be on here. You could have asked anybody, but you asked me and I really appreciate that. And thank you also for the introduction. I was good to go until you dropped the word CEO and then I felt my face get warm and I was like,
you know, you the CEO, you know, but yeah, you're so humble. You're like, wait, CEO, I guess I am the CEO. Yeah, that's you.
But thank you so much for that. But yes, I'm doing well. I actually, like I was telling you right before we jumped on, I just woke up. I slept through my alarm clock. So I didn't have the amount of time that I wanted to get ready, but you made me feel so much better when you said maybe that was God saying I needed more rest. So mm-hmm. I am just trusting and believing that he is going to get me through this and give me the words to say, and I didn't need to be ready.
Absolutely. And that's how it works when you're spiritually in tune with God, right? Like you may question and have doubts about certain movements that you're supposed to make, but the moment that you just trust his direction, you can let it go.
Amen.
Just let it go. Like just breathe through it and be like, you know what? Why am I stressing all of this? Like God's got it.
Yes.
So that's the power of spiritual wellness. So we can just go ahead and jump right into that. I'm going to just say a quick disclaimer that, you know, I'm at home. We at home doing this thing. Okay. This is not a perfect little studio situation. We make it work where we are. So if y'all hear background noise of baby, it is what it is. So anyhow, we'll dive right in. So I just kind of want to quickly define like what spiritual wellness is. I feel like it could be this large umbrella and it doesn't necessarily have to be tied to religion. So I just want to preface that religion does not equal spirituality, if you will. For me personally, it does, right? Like I'm a Christian, very proud of it. And although, you know, I never push that on people, I just kind of live and walk in that. Spirituality can actually mean just an overall kind of perspective and connection to something that goes beyond just yourself. Would you agree with that definition, sis?
Yes, I actually think that's a beautiful definition. What you said right before that, that it's different, it's like so many different parts of it. I feel like it is different for everybody. Right. And it's not really based on who, but it's based on like your purpose, like your sense of purpose or what life means to you and self-awareness and stuff like that. So it's right. Kind of getting you centered. So yes, I agree.
Yes, getting you centered. And so again, like going back to the religious piece, as a Christian, my spirituality is influenced by Christianity, right? But your spirituality could be influenced by a host of other different umbrellas of religion, or it could be, you know, a lot of people talk about like the universe and just kind of believing in a higher power. So no judgment towards anybody who has a different perspective or influence of spirituality. But for me, Christianity has influenced my spirituality. So they're interconnected, but they're not necessarily, you don't have to have one or the other, if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm also a Christian, so I can definitely relate to you when you say that. That's my way of having my spiritual wellness. But mm-hmm. I think it even goes beyond that. And I don't feel like a lot of people talk about that. We talk about, you know, who we're actually meditating on, or, you know, what practices are we doing. But I think it's also like it has to deal with values and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it could be a form of compassion or the way you fellowship with other people. Yes. It could be like the fruit of the spirit. Like mm-hmm. those are different ways as well.
Absolutely. So kind of going back to spirituality and Christianity for us, I just wanted to ask you, like, how has spirituality impacted your overall being, like who you are as a person?
For me, it just makes me a better person. And I can't say a perfect person, because, you know, I'm so far from it. But, you know, every day when I tune in to God, it's like every day I have this purpose. Like, I feel like there is a purpose in life. So, okay, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do today to make me a better person? Who can I serve today? And just that alone, it just makes you feel better mentally. When I'm serving people, I just feel better mentally. Yes. But it just keeps me aligned. So like you said, I'm a Christian, so I'll talk from that point. So in the Bible, they give so many great examples of who Jesus was when he was mm-hmm. on earth.
Right.
So that's really where I center on. Like, how can I be more like him? And that is hard.
Right.
It's so hard to have that walk rather than having the walk of the world and what everybody else is doing. But I feel like that is the walk that keeps me aligned with my purpose and what my values are. It keeps me connected to people. It helps me to forgive people. Like, it just, mm-hmm. all those things that take you down the road of depression and anxiety and just not feeling good and being bitter and being angry. Like, all those things, there are examples in the Bible that I can always turn to help me.
Yeah, to help you, like, walk through those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you said, like, you know, the more we try to be like Jesus, like, we'll never be him, we'll never have a perfect walk like he had, but the more we just allow his principles to influence our lives, the better we become.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of time those principles just seem so far-fetched and like, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not so much about like being him, it's just about understanding like how those principles can make you a stronger, better, wiser, more loving person.
Mm-hmm. There's right. one thing that I did with the boys some months ago, and we were kind of going over what is the fruit of spirits, right? Mm-hmm.
I've done that one.
So we wrote it all down. And what I did with the boys is I had them pick one. And for the week, that was the one that they were intentional about.
Ooh.
So if they picked kindness, and I believe that's the one that Jackson picked, mm-hmm. So his thing was every day when he woke up, he wanted to make sure that he focused on the word kindness. So he was kind to his brother. He was kind to me. He was kind by, you know, doing little things for other people, or he would go in the kitchen and wash the dishes when it wasn't his turn, stuff like that. And to me, that's a big piece of overall wellness, because what he did by doing the kindness one is changed the atmosphere in the house. Because when you're kind to one person, that person will be, not always,
yes,
but for the most part, you'll get that kindness returned to you.
Right. It typically translates over. I love that you brought up the fruits of the spirit, because that is a principle that I have seen in my life. As I draw closer to God, I see the fruits of the spirit show up for me. And I just want to quickly just say what the fruits of the spirit are for people who don't know, but it's basically love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, when you have that divine connection to God and you are spiritually sound in that way, what the Bible teaches is that the closer you are to God, the more you see those things show up in your life. And it is powerful, right? Like, wow, I'm experiencing that right now in so many ways. But the one that I, really right now is self-control with me competing. I just want to go back to a previous episode. If this is someone's first time listening, that I'm competing for bikini bodybuilding, and there's just a lot that goes into that as far as discipline and nutrition and exercise and just the commitment overall. It has really forced me to get focused on my purpose, but also to draw on God's strength for that. And it's the self-control piece that He is giving me, because oh man, like food, whoo, food. You just mentioned before we hopped on that you had tea and a PB&J, and I was like, it didn't just trigger me. You know what I'm saying? But again, like going back to spiritual wellness, like, I feel like because I'm so in tune with God, He's giving me one of, those fruits of the spirit are showing up for me in different areas, but self-control is definitely showing up for me, because if I didn't know God, if I didn't have His strength, I don't know if I could really have that willpower to discipline myself to stay away from things that are not on plan for what I'm doing. So is there a fruit of the spirit that you can think of that has influenced, where you're at right now?
I'm actually gonna say all of them,
Mm-hmm. Of
just
course, yeah.
because, yeah, I focus on them all the time. I keep them written down. I think one that I talk about a lot is peace, though. And I think the reason why I do that is because a lot of times I see it around me so much. Like people say it all the time, I just want peace and I just want this and that. And then we get in these environments that are very quiet and very nice, and then they use that as the example of peace. And I'm like, peace is really being in the midst of a storm and still feeling like like I can take a nap during all this and I still feel good. Yeah, that's peace to me. So I think that one is the one that I always have to remind myself about. And that's just because I'm always looking for peace. And I'm like, no, I don't need to look for it. This is not something I need to look for.
But I also, oh, I love that you brought up peace, because peace is definitely one that I know what it feels like not to have peace. So I'll give the example real quick. God is leading me to just speak on this.
Big
When I
girl.
was in my darkness and in my depression and alcohol addiction and just that whole turmoil of experiencing, I remember one day I was in the shower and I was just sobbing, crying. Like, I was just overwhelmed with heartache and hopelessness and just feeling like, I just don't know how much longer I can feel like this and continue on. And I remember speaking out of my mouth, "Lord God, I just want peace." And whoo, He gave it to me. So, ooh, I did not know I was going to get emotional on this one.
It's all right, sis.
So I just think that when you know what it feels like to not have those things in your life, when you experience them, it's like, wow, what a difference from crying in the shower, feeling hopeless and alone, to waking up every day and feeling a presence of peace that is just over your life. That doesn't mean that you don't go through things. It just means that you go through things differently,
Yeah.
right?
It's like you're trusting in God in that moment. It's like a warm embrace.
That's exactly what it is. And that's what I felt that day. You know, when I asked for it, he gave it to me. And it was exactly like a warm embrace, like, I'm here. You know, so I'm so thankful for that divine connection and that I can call on him and ask him for what I need. And when you ask, he'll give it to you.
Yes.
Ooh, we are just, I love, see, this is what I'm about getting on with Carla, and we're talking a topic that I think just it just pulls on our heartstrings because it's in the fabric of who we are, right? Like,
Right.
it's such a part of who we are. So for us to talk about this is definitely a God thing. So I just want to like touch on, for people who are not spiritual or, you know, don't have that connection or looking to find a source where they can feel more spiritually sound, I want to talk about ways that you can improve spiritual wellness. So I'll bring up a topic, and then if you don't mind, Carla, just touching on like how you do those things, and if you
Okay.
think, you know, a way that you improve your spiritual wellness, then we'll, you know, have you talk about that. But prayer. For me, prayer is one of the most important ways that I have improved my spiritual wellness because it's just a conversation with God. And again, a conversation with the divine or just something that's beyond yourself. So, how can you speak about prayer and how that has influenced your spiritual wellness?
Okay, what I can say about prayer is that word used to scare me. If anybody would say, "Hey, can you pray for us?" or "Can you do this in public?" I would automatically start sweating. My heart's racing. I'm getting anxiety. And it was only because I was comparing the way that I pray to how somebody else was praying. So I was thinking, like, oh man, I don't sound the way that I should sound. So I had to change my focus, and I had to first realize that I'm not praying to them. I'm praying to God. And God is the one who created me, and He made me the way that I am. So, this weird, eccentric, whatever else you want to call me, He knows that language. So, when I pray, I have learned to pray from my heart and pray, I show up as I am. So sometimes I don't say Father God. Like when I'm praying, you know, there's a lot of Father Gods. And I think that's just because, you know, who I've been around. And, you know, that's just what I heard. But sometimes I really go to God and I just sit in there and I talk instead of like thinking of the word pray. And I'll just be like, oh, dad. Like I call God my daddy. Like that's my daddy. Especially since my dad wasn't, you know, a whole nother story. But I go to God like he's my dad. I picture him sitting like on a chair and me on the floor with my head on his lap. And I talk to him and I cry. I scream sometimes. I tell him how upset I am. And that's okay. Like I don't always have to show up nice Carla. Because even when I don't say it, excuse me, when I don't say it, he knows it anyway. So that's what prayer is to me. It's just having a conversation with God because it's a relationship. It's like with any relationship that you have with a spouse, with a friend, with your children. God is supposed to be the one that's closest to you and knows everything about you anyway. So it's like you go to him, you talk to him, and you just, yeah, it's like a bond. I love it.
Oh, I love how you put that because I do think so often people don't know how to pray because they think there's supposed to be these formalities and this structure and, you know, kind of like this box of how you're supposed to pray when in reality it's very simple. Just like I'm talking to you now is how I, you know, you. How people should perceive prayer. It's just a conversation with somebody that you care about that's there for you and wants to hear from you. You know, imagine that you have a best friend or a confidant or your spouse or your parent and they love you so much, but you never talk to them. That doesn't make sense. Right? And so, again, going back to what Carla said, it's as simple as having a conversation with God. So prayer, so important for spiritual wellness. And the more you pray, I feel like the more it solidifies your beliefs, right? Because then God shows up for you when you pray. So whatever it is you're talking to him about, bringing to his attention, asking for whatever it is, you start to see those things shift and change. And there's no way to see that shift or change if you're not talking to him about it. Right? Imagine again having, if I, you know, I'll use my husband as an example. If I have a grievance, or if I have a wish or a hope or something that I desire in my heart and I want him to do it for me, but I never say anything, how is he supposed to know? He's not a mind readers, okay? They're the worst at it. So again, it's about, okay, what's on my heart? How do I need to communicate this to somebody who is there for me and wants these things for me? So I think you just have to think of it that way. Conversation with God, simple as that. I wanted to also touch down on scripture and how that can impact your spiritual wellness. And, you know, for us, obviously it's the Bible, but it could, you know, be whatever, you know, book of choice that, you know, somebody uses to draw on wisdom, strength, and encouragement to become better. So how has reading scripture improved your spiritual wellness?
For me, it improves. Like, my book of choice is the Bible. I love my Bible because in the back it has it broken down into different subjects. So if I'm looking for wisdom, I can go to the back of the book, look up wisdom, and then it'll have all these scriptures. So then I go into the Bible and I find it, and there it is. So to me, I'm just trying to keep it simple. That is my wellness. Like, I go in there, I read the scripture. One, it makes me feel better, but it also shows me that I'm not perfect, or I don't have to be perfect, because in the Bible, there's so many imperfect people, and God was using them in an amazing way. So it reminds me, like, I'm still enough. Like, I'm still enough. I'm still God's child. He's not gonna leave me. Like, that's one scripture that I tune in all the time. I wish I can remember it at the top of my head, but there's a part. There's two scriptures, actually. There's a scripture that God is saying, or Jesus is saying, "I chose you. Like, I chose you. I chose you." Like, he says this several times. I love that chapter because it makes me feel needed. And then there's another one, and it talks about how God becomes the father to the fatherless. And that is another one that I need. Like, coming from a person who, I don't want to say I have abandonment issues, but I was abandoned in a certain way at a very young age. So growing into this adult woman, I had to, like, think back about relationships, like intimate relationships and friendships, and why did it bother me so bad if someone let me down or if someone left me? And it was because of what I went through. So when I go to those scriptures, it makes me feel well again. Like, even if they're not around, like, God still wants me. And I notice some people, because you can't see God. So to some people, it's just like, how in the world do you connect with that? But I'm telling you, the more that you read about, it's a faith thing. It's really hard to explain. But the more you read it, the more you're connected to it. And I think that's why, for us as Christians, we're always told to meditate on the word, stay in the word, because God speaks through the word, like, big time. It's so weird how you can go into the Bible. You can open up your Bible feeling one way, but then when you close it, you feel different.
Yes, absolutely.
So.
Well, and people will say, like, it's living. It's the living word. And what that simply means is that it applies to everyday life, regardless of when it was written, who it was written by. God has spoken in a book, and it is literally a guide to help us get turmoils and challenges of the world and be able to always come back to Him. Come back to Him. That's what the living word does for my spiritual wellness. It's like all of those reminders of what is what I'm supposed to go through in order to teach me something, and the only way to really understand the principles of what I'm going through is to go back to the word, because it's alive, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to speak to those who aren't Christians. And when it comes absolutely. To reading scripture, and I don't want to just say reading scripture, but reading anything that brings you back to center. Mm-hmm. So it could be like reading some affirmations or reading like different books that will improve your spiritual wellness. Like it's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I think all of those things work.
Yeah. Personal development. You know, there's so many books out there that, you know, just talk about how to be a better person. And, you know, those things can absolutely improve your spiritual wellness, because again, spirituality is just about thinking beyond the self, thinking about, you know, a divine connection with something greater than yourself. And so there's multiple ways that you can, you know, have that connection when it comes to reading, you know, scripture or principles that help you to become a better person overall, right? So another way to improve spiritual wellness is setting aside time with God. This has been a practice that I have done daily for, well, since COVID, to be honest, because I know that to start my day with God has been so important. And I did it in the past too, but this is the most I've done it consistently. It's been a little over a year, and it is a practice that I have daily. And again, speaking to the non-Christians, this can simply mean just creating a space for yourself to be mindful and do deep breathing and create a space of calm for yourself. And for me, that means just time with God. So when I wake up in the morning, I go get my coffee, and then I go into my living room. Hopefully by that point, my son's not awake, because then I can do it, you know, very peacefully. But just sitting down, taking deep breaths, and just focusing my thoughts on gratitude and God, and just, you know, talking to him through prayer, or simply just sitting still. So what does that look like for you, Carla, to like set time aside with God, or just create a space for yourself for that spiritual wellness piece?
Okay, I had to come on here and show or talk about my imperfectness. There's sometimes that I get so busy, and we know how that goes. Mm-hmm. I forget to set time with God.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? I don't want to say I forget, because I don't forget, because it's part of who I am.
Yeah.
But it's almost like I only block out enough time after. It's almost like giving tithes. So there was a point where I used to get tithes, like early on in my Christian walk. It was like I would pay my bills and do all this, and then I would give tithes. So I would basically say whatever I have left over. And that was the same thing that I was doing with setting time with God. Mm. So I would wake up and take care of all these appointments and do this and that, and then give whatever was left in me. Mm. And sometimes I go back down that rabbit hole and I have to start over again. Like I definitely can tell when I haven't had my time with God, because my day looks so different. It's just like making my bed. If I don't make my bed, my whole day feels screwed up. Like I just, I look like, no wonder my bed wasn't made the way that I usually do it. So I try to set up that time first thing in the morning. So a lot of times, you know, some people say I'm not a morning person, but I really am. I just have to make sure that I give my morning to him first. So that's my quote unquote 10%. So I get up, I read my devotion. I read some chapters in my Bible. I'll like lay there, kind of meditate on something, see what he's trying to tell me. I'll even talk. So in the morning when I'm talking to him, I don't pray. So it's not me praying. I just talk. I say, good morning, Dad. Like, it's real cheerful. Like, good morning, Dad. What we doing today? Like, I say stuff like that. So to me, that is my time with God. It's fun. It's relaxing. And it gets me ready for today. And if I skip it, I definitely know I skipped it. If I snap at somebody, that's how you know I did not have my time with God.
Exactly. That's like, you know, something's missing today. I know what it is. I ain't talked to Jesus yet.
Yep.
I also want to say, like, it doesn't have to be at the start of your day, right? Like,
Right.
some days it's not at the start of my day. Like, I'm consistent in creating a space as far as thinking about God, talking to Him. I try to, fill it in first thing in the morning. But sometimes, when you have a 18-month-old, that doesn't quite work out that way. And so I just try to be conscious of that. Okay, have I connected with God today? Is He on my mind? Am I thinking about something bigger than just me today? That's that piece that has nothing to do with religion. Like, what is your mindfulness around that? Like, how can I impact somebody else today? That could literally be creating that space of spirituality for yourself. It's just like, what is my purpose today? Maybe my purpose is helping someone in need. Maybe my purpose is to make someone smile. Maybe my purpose is to reach out to somebody I haven't talked to in a long time and just check in. It's again, it's about that intention of thinking about something that goes far beyond yourself. And for me, that's just, thinking about God. But also, it is about thinking about my purpose. What am I supposed to do today? So it doesn't, again, it doesn't have to be that structured, formal, like meditation in the morning. I try to fit that in because it just feels good to me, but it can be all throughout your day, even in the evening before you go to bed. That could be considered like I'm giving you the last of what's left, but it doesn't have to be that way. It could just be that's your time to really sit down and regroup before you go to bed and create that space of peace and connection.
Most definitely. I love that.
So I also want to talk about, and this is a good one, and you and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. I think a really powerful way to kind of get in tune with your spirit and kind of cleanse the mind and the body is fasting, like fast. I'm not talking intermittent fasting for just nutrition purposes or weight loss. Okay, that's like it's like the new thing. Oh yeah, I'm intermittent fasting. No, this kind of fasting is for a purpose that goes far beyond just the physical sense. And again, it doesn't have to be tied to religion, but for me, when I'm fasting, that just means that I am trying to cleanse something from my mind, body, and spirit to help me get refocused on my purpose or get guidance from God about something that I'm hoping to do. And right now, I feel like I'm in a very long fast doing this competition work. Like, I'm fasting everything that I enjoy right now as far as food is concerned. And I just feel like I'm because of it, because I'm really clearing my mind and body of all of those distractions and temptations. And so therefore, when I feel like when my vessel is clear, it allows God to pour, right? So like think of a cup that's full. If it's full of doubt, if it's full of distraction, if it's full of discontentment, how is God supposed to pour in enlightenment? Right? So I know that when I fast, I'm trying to clear all of those things away so that God can pour in whatever He needs to pour in to make me more spiritually sound and aware and connected to Him. But I want to ask Carla because she's pretty good at, around the fasting thing. Because I know you have,
What?
yes, she'd be like, I'm fasting this week. Oh, I'm fasting social media. I'm fasting coffee. I'm fasting this. I'm fasting that. I'm like, okay, I see you. And when she fasts, she gets grumpy. So I just alone. Like, I'm like, okay, she on a fast. Let me give her a few days. But also because she's going through a process. And like just, of course, I'm for real when I say she gets a little grumpy when she's fasting. But also I know that she is clearing some life. And I am like, as her sister and in Christ and a friend who's very close to her and knows her well, I'm like, okay, let me just give her some time because I know that that's such a powerful process for you. So I'll let you go ahead and to the people.
So you'll let me go ahead and get on here and defend myself, because that's what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So fasting, I wouldn't say that I'm great at it. I'm actually, over these last few years, I'm really starting to understand it more. And mm-hmm. I think this year was that year for me. So when Tanisha says I get grumpy, I'm not necessarily grumpy. So let me explain myself. Well, at the beginning, sometimes I am, especially at the beginning, because it's literally like taking away things like all your physical needs or those things that you want. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be painful.
Yes.
So it may come across as being grumpy, but it's really me trying to focus.
Yes.
And then, you know, when you're fasting, sometimes you don't tell people that you're fasting. So if they approach you one way, and then, and this is not you, because you know, when usually I'm talking to you about my fast, mm-hmm. but there's other people who don't know about me fasting, and they'll want me to kind of partake in certain things, and I can't do it, or I can't talk at a certain time, and they get offended by it.
Right.
And yeah. I'm like, okay, I got to keep it moving. Like, I don't have time to like explain myself and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, I love fasting. And even in the Bible, it talks about it. Like when you fast, you know, you still dress up, you put your hair together. You're not supposed to go out there looking like you're struggling.
Right.
Because really, in all honesty, it may feel like a struggle, but the intention of it is to get closer to God. Mm-hmm. So those things that were taken away, we're supposed to be replacing with God and having conversation with him and forming this relation or this bond with him. So it's like denying your flesh. So when I'm fasting, I fast from the things that I know distract me from God. So it may be like social media, it's wine, because I love wine, but wine can be a distraction. Mm-hmm. It can be sex. It can be those different types of relationships that you have. Like if you go and hang out and have brunch and do this and that, but you know that you're spending money, like it could be anything.
Yeah.
I think the best thing that you can do is ask God, because he'll give you the answer.
Mm-hmm. Like
sometimes I ask and I don't want to ask, and then all of a sudden I get a list of things and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Do I have to, Dad?
Yeah, that's really how it is. Like, do I have to? And then if I don't do it, I feel like convicted. So I love fasting. It's the time that I hear from God the most.
Yes.
Because I don't have those distractions around me. I used to think fasting did only have to deal with food. So I would get really into that. Like, okay, I can't eat from this time to this time. But everybody's fast can look different.
Absolutely.
It could be that you do eat all day, but you eat only certain things, or you wake up and you don't eat until a certain time, or it could be just simply taking out certain foods that your body is addicted to.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Like,
that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. So it looks different for everybody, but I know for me, it's always different. Every fast that I do, it seems to be different. The one that I did in January with the church, that turned out to be longer than the church. Like when they were done with theirs, I kept going.
Mm.
So, and it was because that's what God told me to do.
Right. Just being obedient in that.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the can you like speak to an outcome of positivity that occurred after a fast?
Yes. For me, my experience this year was that God gave me so much vision. I was talking to the kids about this, I think the other day, or maybe it was on Sunday. And I was telling them there's like last week, I think it was, I was just in, I don't want to say it was a funk, but it was just something. I was so irritable. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So out loud, I was walking around the house and I kept saying things like, help me, Jesus, like, tell me what to do. Like, I would just say that and keep walking. So on Sunday, I had this revelation after church, and I was talking to the boys about it. And I said, you know what? All that time I was calling, like, you know, speak to me, God. And he was like, he was right there. And I was telling them, like, we call out for help so often. And God is like, well, I didn't leave you. I'm right here. You just can't hear me right now. Like, you got so much stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
you can't hear what I'm saying. So I think with my fast this year, I let go of some some things that were big distractions for me. God spoke to me in ways that I had never heard him. And I know that sounds, that may sound strange to some people because it's like, well, do you hear this this audible voice? It wasn't like that.
No, it was not like that.
It was like I would sit down and then all of a sudden I would get this idea.
Yep.
Or someone would call me with a word, like he was speaking through other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got from fasting. I was more quiet this time, and I actually took away those things. And when I did that and leaned into God more, he started answering things that I wrote down for my fast last year that I thought he forgot about.
Right. Wow. That's so powerful. So clarity. Like things that were unclear became clear just like that.
Yep.
And that's that, you know, analogy that I had used before. Like, if your glass is already full of whatever it is that's distracting you from a higher purpose or a vision or whatever God wants to pour into you, then he can't pour unless that glass becomes empty again. Yeah. So by fasting, you're just simply emptying yourself of whatever it is and allowing God to pour in. I kind of wanted to speak to a positive outcome from a fast because it's the most powerful outcome I've experienced. And I've experienced a lot of powerful things from fasting, but some people who have been in this space with you and I before know that before I had my son, I experienced a miscarriage. And that was one of the most difficult things that I'd ever experienced, especially because my husband and I were trying and planning and hoping and wishing and praying for that. And so we lost that, you know, we lost a seed, and that was challenging. And so over the course of, you know, a year, we were trying again, and it was so stressful. And I remember I had so many moments of frustration and hopelessness. And then finally, God spoke to me in a way that, again, I hadn't heard him before. And he brought me into a space with someone who kind of became a spiritual guidance counselor to me at a time where I just felt so lost. Given instructions on how to do this one particular fast. And so for like 21 days, I, you know, fasted. I was on a full vegan diet. I was using all of these different essential oils like frankincense and myrrh in my bath. I was praying every day. I was exercising every day. I was drinking a gallon of water a day. Like, I literally was just going through this process with the only expectation being that I wanted to be released from my anguish of trying to have a baby. That was my only expectation, is I just wanted to find peace again with it all. And at the end of that fast, that very next month, after a year of trying, I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that pregnancy became my son.
Yeah.
And it is just like, wow, that for me, when it comes to spiritual wellness, it's that belief, you know, of just like seeing something come to fruition when you are setting your intentions on that belief that God is there, whatever you believe in, that it is there for you to help guide you through, to be there for you, and to bring you back to a space of joy, peace, love, all of the that we talked about. And so again, just setting those intentions to clear whatever needs to be cleared in order for God to pour in. So anyhow, we have talked about so many incredible nuggets of truth for us. And I just hope and pray that if you're listening to this and you don't believe in God, that maybe you just take a second look. Again, Carla and I, we never pressure people in that regard, but we also, you know, do come from a space of, we want to encourage other people to find that connection to God in whatever way that it means for you, just so that you can feel some of the positive, you know, experiences that we've had through spiritual wellness. So I will kind of let Carla, you know, if you have anything to leave the people with, any encouraging words to share.
Let's see. Can we close out the episode talking about mindfulness?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I did miss that one. What would you like to say about mindfulness? I
That
know, right?
I love it. No, when I was in the military and I was teaching resiliency, mindfulness topic was such a big one for me because it changed my life and it still continues to change my life. But it's just simply being in the moment. Like there's this Zen saying, and it's like when you drink, when you walk, just walk. And that's really what it is, like being in that moment. So when you're going through, instead of thinking about like what if and the future of it and being consumed by it, it's like just focusing on what's going on right now. So focusing on that joy right now, focusing on that pain, because there's always two aspects to it. It's not just positive, but it's also like when you're going through anything, when you're going through your healing process, it's not to say that it's going to heal you from whatever you're going through, but it helps you change the perspective. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that one up because I did forget to include that. But with that, for people who haven't practiced mindfulness, I'm being led to just kind of close us out with just maybe a minute or so of mindfulness and getting in tune. Are you down for that?
I'm down.
Okay. So let's just close this out with just a quick mindfulness practice and really just setting aside time to breathe and set some intentions here. So, as we close out this podcast, I encourage you to simply get into a comfortable position, whether you're sitting down or even if you're in your car listening to this, that's okay. Still pay attention to the road, but really just take this moment to breathe. So, sitting still, close your eyes if you can. Take a deep inhale through the nose, out through the mouth. Audible exhale there. Clearing a space of peace, allowing God, the divine, whatever it is that you believe in, to just come close. Embracing that comfort, not allowing any background noise to distract you, really shutting it all out and focusing on your breath. Think about what you want to accomplish today. Don't let it discourage you. Think about what you are called to do. Finding your purpose in the moment and asking God for guidance. Deep inhale, audible exhale, letting go of anything that does not serve your higher purpose. Thank you all so much for joining Carla and I. We're so grateful to have shared this space with you. I'm so grateful that Carla was on with me today. It felt so good to be back in the space with her.
It did. Oh, I miss you.
I know, right? I miss you too. So, Carla, where can the good people find you to connect with you?
I feel like this is deja vu because I did my podcast episode last night and I said, hey, this is where you can find me. Okay. Anyway, so you can find me on social media on IG as radiate underscore her or on Facebook, radiate her, the Facebook page. I do have a Facebook page under my name, Carla Chapman. Yeah, if I don't know you though, that one's kind of touchy. I usually only accept the people that I know just to give me more comfort on my own page. But I definitely can be reached out on there, or you can find me on Tuesdays on Her Talks Radio.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, you know where to find me on Instagram, Borelli T, or Facebook under Tanisha Borel. Thanks again for joining me, Tanisha, on Living Well and Carla Chapman. And have a blessed day.
Bye.